Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Route, the program where we gather every day at this time. We discuss the issues between rural and urban America, we being me and Kyle Bauer, who is out and about. And Kyle, before we get to our real topic today, I almost got excited last night.
Okay. Do you want to talk about this?
Well, I brought it up.
Okay.
I want to act like I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
But I want you to beg and say, oh, come on, Trent.
Come on, Trent.
Yeah, there we go.
Tell us, please.
I picked up the phone about 7 o'clock. It was raining outside, so I was in.
Yeah.
And the voice on the other end said, hello, this is Carrie Prejean. And I was almost excited. She's my latest American hero, you know.
Yeah, but somebody was goofing with you, weren't they?
No, it was her.
It was her?
In a recorded voice with the National Association for Marriage. Asking me for a donation.
Oh.
It's amazing how this world works.
Yeah,
kidding. I said, I don't want to donate to the cause, but I'd love to have you on the radio. And that completely screwed up their little voice-activated computer system, and I think I lost her.
That wasn't one of the answers that they were programmed to take.
No.
Yeah. Huh.
I hope that Steve is playing with his phone, otherwise I have a problem.
I don't know. I don't hear anything. I hear a little echo, though. Maybe Rachel can take care of that. But
Rachel,
I am not playing with my phone.
You're not. Trent must have a problem. I'll try to remain still.
Well, we'll just go ahead on the show without you while you take care of your problem.
You what?
We'll go on with the show while you take care of your problem.
Okay, I'd like to see how you set this up.
Seeing as how I only know Steve's first name, and I don't know a shark from a dolphin, how's that for us?
What is the difference between a shark and a dolphin, Steve Hendy?
Shark's a fish. A dolphin is a mammal, for starters. Actually, assuming you were talking about the dolphin, the mammal, not the dolphin, the fish, because there's also a dolphin, the fish. But so that could be a kind of a crazy subject.
You know, that
and
might actually
wait. Whoa! Wait a minute. There's one other difference. Shark have big teeth and can bite your arm off.
Yeah, the rodeo people have learned that.
See, I was setting you up.
Way to go, Kyle. Steve Hendy, president of Shark, showing animals respect and kindness. Welcome to Rural Routes. There will be a lot of people that wonder why we have you on the program. Why don't you tell us what you meant by that little statement, rodeo people? You've taken it upon yourself to end rodeo, as I see it. Why?
Well, you know, I realize that that's how you see it, and to a lot of people it may look that way. That, at least in the beginning, was not our intention, and I would say that even today it's not our intention. Although, back in the beginning, we thought that people we thought that there were some bad apples in rodeo, and that all we needed to do was inform the rodeo associations and such, and things would get cleaned up. Today,
by the way, we agree on that point. And I think still are bad apples in the rodeo world. We need to get rid of them.
The problem for us is that, by all appearances, the bad apples are running the rodeo industry. And so that, of course, makes it much, much more difficult to clean things up if the dirtiest guys are the ones that are running the industry.
Okay, now wait a minute. We need to disclaim this. Those are the thoughts of Steve Hendy and not the staff and management of this radio station.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean, Steve?
Well, for instance, if you look at, right now, the commissioner of the PRCA is Carl Stressman. I don't really know that much about him. I've heard he's a good guy. But the guy who was just ahead of him was, Troy Ellerman, the lawyer who, you know, lied in court, lied to the judges, was thrown in a federal prison. I mean, this
on an issue unrelated to rodeo.
Well, right, but I mean, it's definitely showed a something of a character flaw there to the head cowboy in the biggest rodeo association in the world. Also, they just had elections to their executive council, and three of the guys that were elected were people that we have, I mean, directly caught on camera in the past few years, doing things that they claim they don't do to animals, especially shocking animals. One was David Moorhead, the owner of Three Hills Rodeo Company. Another one is John Barnes. If these are the guys you're going to elect, we don't have to really have any expectation that rodeo is going to clean up.
And for so that everyone, even people who are not familiar with rodeo, there are individuals who have been caught, many of them with your cameras, using small hand hotshot type devices as animals or bucking animals are turned out of the chute.
Right.
Is that accurate?
Right, and the rodeo people would say, listen, these things don't cause injury to the animals. And well, that's true enough, but, you know, a slap to the face doesn't really injure a person either, but you slap a person in the face and you're going to be charged with an assault.
But that horse is not a person, Steve.
Well,
the
horse can suffer cruelty. I mean, I think we can all agree
that
that exists.
Yep.
And you know, as we've discussed before, the makers of the hotshot have said two things consistently for years. One of them is that they don't want their devices used in rodeo. They don't want them used in a broader sense. They don't want them used in an entertainment setting because that's not what they made them for. They made them to move animals from point A to point B, not to get them to act, you know, to buck because it hurts.
Actually, that was one of my questions. Do you agree with using what we're all referring to as hotshots to move livestock?
Yeah, I don't think I have an issue with that if there's a point to it. I've seen hot shots even in a moving situation. I've seen them overused where they're just
I understand, right.
But no.
You don't have a problem if they're properly used?
No,
okay.
I don't.
Right.
Because, you know, if you've got a really big animal and doesn't want to move and maybe even is injured or ill and you got to get them up or they'll die where they lay, yeah, you're going to have to do something. But it's a little bit like a hypodermic needle. You know, you can use a hypodermic needle to give somebody a shot or whatever, or you can use it because you're just kind of twisted and you want to hurt somebody. And so they've said, don't use them in rodeos. Now, that ought to cut it off right there. But on top of that, they've said, and under no circumstances should they be used on horses. Under no circumstances. And yet that's the horse is the main animal that what the hot shot is used on in rodeo. So,
Steve, with that logic, though, I'm sitting here looking out my window at the pen of horses that I use for my main saddle horses that I keep at the house close. Do you know what I use for fencing?
Electric fence.
Well, and really, by rights, there's no difference in a small electric charge as that horse leaves the bucking chute than when the horse gets charged because he thinks he can go through that fence and then they leave it alone.
But the difference is that the horse in the bucking chute, the horse that is in the fencing learns very quickly not to go messing with the fencing.
Correct.
And,
but that's because they got shocked.
All he has to do is stay away from the fence. The horse in the bucking chute can't move forward, backward, or turn around. He can't leave until they start to open the chute gate. And then when they're shocking him, it's to make him buck. Or if the horse goes down, they'll reach down, they'll shock him right in the head. And the PRCA's own rules say that if a horse goes down and won't get back up, you're supposed to open up the chute gate. So we've come to know the PRCA rules, in the humane area anyway, pretty well. I would say probably better than most of the contestants from what we can tell.
Yeah, I agree. Steve Hendy, our guest, president of SHARC. More Rural Routes after this.
Today we're joined by Dr. Pierce Lyons, president and founder of Alltech. And Dr. Lyons, we talk a lot about Alltech, but it might be good for you to go back to the basics. What is Alltech really about?
Alltech has always been about marketing through education. I think we are good educators. I think we're good teachers. We love teaching, and we like taking something complicated and, you know, putting it in a form that the average guy like you and I will understand.
Okay, with that said, the Alltech Symposium is coming up May 17th through the 20th. How do you describe that?
The program that we have this year is very much on how do I stay in business? How do I sustain that business? And at the same time, how do I move it to a whole new level where I have total traceability and I have a brand?
You can get details about the upcoming symposium at alltech.com. More importantly, you can follow the proceedings there as well. Thank you, Dr. Pierce Lyons, alltech.com.
Many people believe that the Humane Society of the United States is the same Humane Society that runs their local animal shelter. Nothing could be further from the truth. HSUS does not operate a single pet shelter or pet adoption facility. During 2006, HSUS contributed only 4.2% of their budget to organizations that operate hands-on dog and cat shelters. They are a national, not-for-profit, bent on eliminating modern animal agriculture and press the vegan agenda. Your local animal shelter provides a very important need to many communities. Make sure contributions that you think might be going to them are indeed supporting these shelters. A contribution to the Humane Society of the U.S. will very likely not reach any shelter. If you ask your shelter, most will enthusiastically tell you they are in no way affiliated with HSUS and know that many of their support dollars are sent by mistake to HSUS. Know where your contributions go.